Hi, I'm Frank, and I'm the pastor of Real Life Church in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My life wasn't always like this. Years ago, I was a hard-living, unsaved young archaeologist living in Jerusalem, Israel. Everything was going well for me, and I was very successful, but unhappy and unfulfilled on the inside. Here I was, excavating the Bible, specifically palaces and fortresses of King Herod the Great. I was walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. However, everything changed the day I asked the Lord into my life. And now, I invite you to go on the journey with me as we study the Word of God with insight and revelation drawn from the years that I spent as an archaeologist in Israel. Welcome to Real Life Radio, where we apply God's Word to our real lives.
Matthew chapter 8. We've got about 8 or 9 states on with us. 10 if you include the state of blessing that we are all in this sanctuary right now. And before I quote from, or before I read from Matthew, I'm going to set this all up today by a scripture in Acts. If you're taking notes, it's Acts chapter 3, verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And that is after the man who was lame, born lame, was healed miraculously at the gate of the temple. His name, through faith in his name. So today's message is called Healing, the Healing Power of Faith. The Healing Power of Faith. Not faith in the church, but we should have. Not faith in ourselves, but we should have. Not faith in the message. Not faith in faith. Faith in the name of Jesus. Faith in the power of God. Faith in the Lord, faith in Christ Jesus, what he's done, what he said, what he represents to us. Now let's look at it beginning in Matthew chapter 8. We're talking about the healing power of faith. The healing power of faith. Matthew chapter 8, I'll begin reading in, verse 5. And in verse 5 it says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion." Right now, right away, we know the centurion's Roman. He's not Jewish. The centurion is from Italy. He's Roman, and he's part of the occupying force. He was not, shouldn't be well-liked. He's part of the Roman army that is there to keep the people in line. And he says, "Lord, my servant is at home, and he's lying paralyzed, grievously tormented." Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." Centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only and my servant shall be healed." Now, I want to make something absolutely clear. We are worthy for Jesus to come into our homes. He has made us worthy. This scripture is because the Roman centurion knew about Jewish cleanliness and ritual cleanliness. He knew that as a Gentile, he could not have a rabbi or a Jewish man come into his home without becoming defiled. Ritually unclean. So this is why he was saying, "Jesus, don't come to my house. You don't need to risk becoming ritually unclean. Speak the word here. My servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go. He goes to another, come, and he comes. To my servant, do this, and he does it." He has an excellent understanding of the kingdom of God. He understands authority. He understands how authority is delegated and how authority is utilized. Jesus has the authority, and he says to the enemy, he says to the sickness, and it responds. So this man has a better understanding of authority than many Christians today and just about all of the Jewish people at that time. And it's because of his personal experience. One of the things that we will understand is when we apply God's word to our real lives, we will understand it more than people who've studied in seminary all their lives. That's why we say it's real life, and we apply God's word to our real lives. It's not just ethereal. It's not just something in the book. It's not just something we talk about. It's something we live. It's real life. So what we hear today, what the Spirit of God says to us today, apply it to life. Don't just think it's for the library or for the seminary. It is real. It is life. It is Jesus. It is here. It is now. For faith is now, the word of God says. So Jesus, when he heard it, he marveled. He said, "I have not found this kind of faith in the people of Israel. And I say to you, Many shall come from the east and the west. He's talking about us now. Many shall come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out. Now, not all. We can't use this as a scripture to say all the Jewish people. No. There are people. There's some that are, some that are not. Some believe, some don't. But the word of God says, they shall look upon him whom they pierced. So I have faith for them. And even the apostle Paul said, pray for Israel that they would be saved. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. As you have believed, so be it done unto you. As you have believed. And his servant was healed the same hour. The question is, what do we believe? What can we believe? Can we believe God's word more than the word of experience? More than the word of anybody, including doctors and surgeons? Can we believe God's word? It doesn't mean the doctors and the surgeons are wrong. They know what they're doing. They know what they're talking about. But we have a higher authority. And that authority says that he laid sickness and disease on Jesus at the cross, that by his wounds we are made whole, were made whole. Can you trust God's word? Can you trust the power of resurrection life? Jesus was a dead body, but life came in, and he rose from the dead, and he overcame death, hell, grave, sickness, disease on our behalf. It's a matter of what we believe. Pastor Mary Beth already said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What are you thinking in your heart? Are you thinking you got this? Are you thinking I can do this? Are you thinking he healed me? Are you thinking I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony? That's God's word. Let's look at it in Matthew 9, just another chapter later. Matthew 9, verse 20. We're just going to skip to one part of it. This is when Jesus is on his way to the ruler of the synagogue's house to heal his little daughter who was sick. And we know later on she died and Jesus raised her from the dead. But on the way, time is of the essence. Time is critical. She's at the point of death. This little girl is about to die at any minute. And on the way, somebody stops Jesus. Can you imagine being that man who Jesus was coming to heal your daughter and you know time is critical? Well, anyway, verse 21, this woman who stopped Jesus, for she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. She said it. Faith is saying something. What are we saying? When we speak, it's an expression of our faith. When we were born again, and nobody is a Christian until they're born again, doesn't matter what church we go to. Amen. It's when we're born again that we become a Christian. Amen. The Word of God says, unless you're born again, you will not even see the kingdom of heaven. Amen. The Apostle Paul says, if we believe in our heart that Jesus is alive, raised from the dead, and say that with our mouths, then we are born again. It's at that moment. And what did we do? We believed and we said. We believed and we said. We believed and we said. Same thing with healing. Believe it, but say it. Say it. Say it. Say the scripture. Say your healing. Speak it out loud. This woman said, if I can touch his garment, I'll be whole. Jesus turned about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith. Whose faith? Your faith. Whose faith? Your faith has made you whole. And in another scripture, we looked at this just recently, so I'm not going to go into it in depth. But another scripture, I think it's Luke. In Luke, Jesus turns around, and he said, who touched me? And everybody, he's in a big crowd, everybody's touching him. And the apostles would say, well, everybody's touching you. And he says, no, somebody touched me because I felt, in King James, virtue go out of me. And what that word is in the Greek is power. I felt power go out of me. Now, this is the key here. He did not send the power. Like he would say, stretch out your hand to the man who had the crumpled arm in the synagogue and his hand was made whole. He didn't say, he didn't even know she was there. She touched by faith and the power flowed into her. When we touch God by faith, the power of God flows into our bodies, our minds, our emotions, our circumstance and situation, and healing takes place. It doesn't have to be cancer like 16 years ago with me. It can be a headache. It can be a cold. It can be COVID. Whatever it may be. But you must be relentless in your confessing the word of God, commanding the symptoms to cease, to take their hands off you, to loose and leave your body in Jesus' name. It's always in Jesus' name. Let's look at it in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We're just going chronologically, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then the book of Acts makes it easy for us. In Mark chapter 10, we're just going to look at, again, the end of the scripture, because this is Bartimaeus in Jericho, and we talked about that in a recent service. But just the very end of this, verse 51. Jesus answered and said unto him, What would you want me to do? What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? So let me ask anybody who's in need of healing today, what do you want Jesus to do? What do you want God to do? You've got to understand, if you don't have a concept of what you want, you won't have anything to receive. What do you want him to do in the area of healing? Whatever the area of healing is, you need to articulate that, believe that, and say that. So Jesus wants to hear him say, what do you want? He doesn't want to hear him say, I'm blind. Doesn't want to hear him say, I can't see. Wants to hear him say something by faith, something positive, something expectant. And so the blind man said, Lord, I want to see. I want to see. He was very simple. In one short verse or part of a verse, he says what he wants from God. He says what he can believe for. He says what he's extending his faith for. And look what Jesus said. Jesus said, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Now, when did that man, Bartimaeus, show any faith? A couple of times. First, when he called out to Jesus, when he first heard Jesus was passing by. As I said, I didn't read through the whole scripture today. I just did it, I think, Thursday. Second, when everybody around him said, be quiet, he's too busy, be quiet, that's Jesus, he's got a big crowd, be quiet, and he shouted louder. There are many people who do step one. They pray, but if they don't get it right away, they give up. You don't give up, you shout louder. You don't give up, you pray harder. You don't give up, you keep on going on. That's what faith is all about. Faith is going beyond what you can do in the natural. Faith is believing beyond what you've ever believed before. Faith is expecting things you've never seen before. Faith is becoming somebody you've never been before. If you haven't been healed, faith is believing for healing. So Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now, while you're turning to Luke 5, someone might think, well, yeah, if Jesus were here, yeah, if I had only lived in the time of Jesus, sure. Jesus touched me, I could touch him, yeah. That's different. But now, we're 2,000 years away from him. Now, there's too much distance, too much time. Now, it's different. There's nothing different. He's the same yesterday and forever, the Word of God says. He hasn't changed. What changed is our expectancy and our faith. When that woman touched the hem of his garment 2 scriptures ago, she touched not the hem of his jacket, not the hem of his robe, not the hem of his shirt, the hem of his prayer shawl. As a good Jewish man, he was wearing a prayer shawl. If you've ever seen the prayer shawl, you have all of the fringe that hangs down. That fringe is called tzitzit. That's what she touched. Now let me ask you a question. What is that I just said she touched? The prayer shawl. What does that say to us? This is how we touch Jesus, by prayer. This is how we touch him, through prayer. We can touch him just as surely today as she touched him 2,000 years ago, somewhere there in the Middle East. It's time to touch, reach out, and touch by prayer. Now in Luke chapter 5. In Luke 5, I'm going to look at verse 17. Luke 5. And it came to pass on a certain day, Jesus was teaching, and there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and all of Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, I find that scripture completely amazing. You have Pharisees, doctors of the law. They came out of Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem. You'd think they were there because they were the masters of the scripture. But no, they were there because the word of God was there to heal them. They needed to be healed. And behold, men brought in a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought to bring him in, but the crowd was too big. They couldn't get near the door. They couldn't get near the window. They couldn't get him anywhere near Jesus. When they could not find a way in, they went up onto the rooftop, and they broke open the roof, and they let him down through the roof. Now, I don't know if there's anybody here who has that kind of faith, that you're going to go up to somebody's roof and break through the roof. Now, the roofs in those days, they were thatch. They were wood and thatch with a thick layer, probably about that thick, of mud and plaster. They were rolled flat. It supported your weight. You would go up there in the afternoon when the breeze was blowing. You would go up there and put out your crops to dry. If you were drying wheat or anything that you grew, you'd put it up there to dry. So the roof was accessible, and they had to break through. In order to break through, they had to, it took some time. It took some effort, took some time. But keep in mind, underneath that roof, Jesus is teaching, and they have a big meeting going on. If you broke up this roof, first of all, there'd be a lot of noise. Secondly, there'd be a lot of stuff falling down, especially there. There'd be straw falling down. There'd be wood falling down. There'd be plaster falling down. And all the while, Jesus is teaching. We cannot allow any distractions in our life when we're seeking healing. When we want something from God, we've got to go all the way. Now, these men had the idea to bring this man up on the roof. And it says, when Jesus, verse 20, when Jesus saw their faith. Now, what is he talking about? All of you online and anyone here that you have brought someone to church for these services, these healing services, Thursday, today, and tonight, you are those men, your faith. You have brought people into the service by faith. These men, when Jesus saw their faith, what was their faith? Their faith to break up the roof, their faith to do anything they could to get their friend to Jesus. We are responsible to do anything we can to get our friends to Jesus, to get our friends healing, to get our friends salvation. It is our responsibility, and when we do, it's an expression of faith. Faith is not just here believing for healing. Faith is believing for people and bringing them to Christ. That is another way to develop our faith. So he said, man, your sins are forgiven. The scribes and the Pharisees said, who is this that speaks blasphemy? Because who can forgive sin but God alone? Jesus perceived their thoughts. And that does not mean he heard them. He perceived. He had a word of knowledge, a gift of the Holy Spirit found in 1 Corinthians 12. He perceived what they were thinking in their hearts. And he answered them, why are you thinking this in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise and walk? But that you know the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sins. He looks at the man and says, get up and walk. And the man instantly gets up. Now that is an example of faith of friends and faith of the person. We can have faith for other people. We can have faith to bring them to the place until their faith kicks in. This paralyzed man had no way to get to Jesus. The friends had faith to get him to Jesus, and then his faith took over once he got to Jesus. So don't give up on people. Bring them to Jesus. Let's look at it in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Now, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's why we're looking at so much scripture today, because we want your faith to soar. We want your faith to grow. We want you to overcome. We want you to rise up. We want you to defy the sickness and defy the symptoms in the name of Jesus. John chapter 14, we'll look at verse 12. Verily, verily, Jesus says, in truth, I say to you, he that believes on me. Now, believing, the word believing there in the Greek is the word for faith. Believing is active faith. Believing is active faith. He who believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. So Jesus is telling us that the signs and wonders that he did in his ministry are available to us today if we believe. If we believe. There's the sticking point. That's the key. Now, it is much easier to just to create another doctrine than it is to believe. So for several hundred years, people have created these other doctrines that this all passed away with Jesus, that it's no longer today, that there was a dispensation, there was, you know, just to sort of get the church started off and then it all went away. That's not what my Bible says. And that's not what any Bible I have ever read says. My Bible says Jesus said, if you believe, and that's the problem. Too many people don't believe. It is time to believe again. It is time to believe in Jesus. Time to believe. You believe he is who he said he is. He does what he says he does. The word is what he said it is. And when he says something, it's true. He said there twice, true, true. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. When we are praying for healing, it's in the name of Jesus. When we are commanding healing, it's in the name of Jesus. When we use the authority of God's word, it's in the name of Jesus. It's not in our own name, not in real life name, not in your name, my name. It's in the name of Jesus. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So healing is in the name of Jesus. Healing is through the name of Jesus. Healing is by Jesus. Jesus, we already established on Thursday night, purchased it for us at the cross. Isaiah 53, we looked at that. And so if you missed Thursday, if anybody's online with us, you missed Thursday, I will get those up on our website this week after tonight's message. We'll put the three together. Thursday night, I don't remember what we called it Thursday night. What was it? Oh, the healing, not the healing gospel, something, I can't remember. But today's Christ the healer. Thank you. Christ the healer, the healing power of faith. And tonight is covenant healing, the covenant or the healing covenant. We're looking at the covenant that we just cut this morning as we had our communion. And we're going to do that again tonight. All right. Well, let's look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. James 5, verse 13. Is any among you afflicted or sick? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Now, I think that the reason that's in there is because a lot of people, when they're merry, when they're happy, when everything's going well, they kind of neglect to do that part. Right? They do their own thing. And then when they're afflicted, then they pray. But it's linked together here. This is a lifestyle. This is not just to come. It's not just an event. You know, you can go to a concert, to an event, and you go to that concert, and you can act all crazy, you know, and you can take your phone and have your light on and do that. That's what you do at concerts now, right? You put the phone up. All of you remember before the days of cell phones, what'd you do? Nothing. You know, you just put your hands up in the air, I think. But what? Flashlights? What? What'd you do? Lighters. I didn't smoke. What if you don't smoke? You don't have a lighter. What do? You got to borrow a lighter from somebody? You know, lighters. That's dangerous. Lighters. I will never forget. Now you're getting me off, John. I'll never forget. There's a ceremony in Israel called the Ceremony of the Holy Fire. It's a Greek Orthodox ceremony, and it's at Easter. What it represents is the moment the spark of life came into the body of Jesus in the tomb. And so a Greek Orthodox priest goes into the area where they believe the tomb of Jesus was. He comes out with a candelabra on fire. And now there are 6,000 or 7,000 people in this church, and they're all there, and they all have candles, including me, because I snuck in with a candle, because I wasn't Greek Orthodox. But since I had a candle, they let me in. I brought Pastor Mary Beth in. She went in, too. And so what happens is this Greek Orthodox priest comes out, and everybody tries to literally tackle him. I mean, they try to tackle him because they want to light their candles from his flame. But he fights his way through them all until he can get to the altar, and he lights the flames on the altar. Then he comes out, and he lets everybody light. And everybody lights their flame, and before long, there are 7,000 flames in this crusader church, and even before, older than that. And the Greek Orthodox priests, they don't cut their beards, and they don't cut their hair, and you know how fast hair catches on fire? And you have all these 7,000 people with flames, and a lot of them are from Greece, so they're this tall. There are these ladies that are, you know, like ancient and about that tall, and they're teetering around, and the priests are trying to protect their hair and their beard, and they're, you know, like putting flames out all around them because they don't want to go up in flame. So I'm not going to go to some concert with open flames. Anyway, so you go. The whole point was you go to that concert and you do that. Now, how many of the people at that concert walk around the rest of the day with their phone and their light on? Nobody. It was a one-time event. And that's the way it is for a lot of Christians. Not a lot of Christians, but some. They have a one-time event. They come in, they need something, they get it, they go out, and they turn off the light and go about their business. We have to stay in the things of God. So he says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The oil has no power. The oil is just a sign or a symbol. What kind of oil? You can use. We use olive oil. I think we have some over there. We use olive oil. One time I used an aromatic oil. I found this, you know, kind of oil that you know, you put it on potpourri. It was cinnamon. It smelled really great. I thought this would be perfect, except when I put it on the first person's head, it burned. Ah! I said, oh, that's the power of God. It's the Holy Spirit fire. I'll never forget that. Hope none of you online are the one that was on. I don't remember who it was. But I stopped doing that. Olive oil works. Cooking oil works. You can use any kind of oil. Anyway, he says, let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. So there it is, the key, the name of Jesus. the name of Jesus. But look at this. And the prayer, not the oil, the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. Now, there are a lot of prayers that are not of faith. A lot of prayers. They don't work. It's the prayer of faith. It's the prayer of faith. Oh, Lord, heal this one if it be thy will. Well, where's the faith? You have no faith. You can't pray a prayer of faith if you don't know what the will of God is. When we know the will of God, we pray the will of God. And you can pray in faith. So someone would say, well, how do you know the will of God? Because I read my Bible. And the Word of God says that when Jesus died at the cross, he became our sin, but he took upon himself our sickness and our disease, that by his wounds we're made whole. And if someone came up to me for healing, to be saved, and I praise God for everybody who comes and accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, gets saved, I'm not going to pray over them and say, oh, Lord, save this person, if it be thy will. That's ridiculous, isn't it? And so is the other one. It's all done at the cross. It's all at the cross. What we do today is just like you get saved today by accessing what he did 2,000 years ago, you get healed today accessing the same way. Believing in your heart and saying with your mouth. Same way. He says the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Word of God tells us that we must pray in faith. Now, how do we pray in faith? Jesus taught us how to pray in faith. If you believe those things you ask have come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you pray. Actually, it's say in verse 23, verse 24. Therefore, when you pray, believe that you receive those things and you shall have them. That's verse 24. That's Mark 11, 23, 24. The prayer of faith is believing. Believing is the Greek word again for active faith. Active faith. How do you believe? You see it is done. You see it is done. Now, let me just reference one more time. I'm not going to go through the whole healing testimony. I went through that Thursday night, but I was in the hospital. The surgeon said, you have a very serious, very advanced stage of cancer that we cannot remove. This was 16 years ago. It was a Monday. Pastor Mary Beth was praying. She was doing all that she could. That night, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, you shall live and not die and declare the wonderful works of God, for I sent my word and healed you and delivered you from all destruction. They're both from the book of Psalms. Now, there was no change in my body. I was in tremendous pain. I was weak. They said, the surgeons came in and said, you need immediate, not surgery, because they already couldn't do that. They said they couldn't remove it all. Radiation and chemotherapy. Massive radiation and chemotherapy if we're going to keep you alive, but you're too weak. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't do anything until they stabilized me, strengthened me. I didn't feel like I was healed. I didn't look like I was healed. I'm laying in the bed. They had to come and nurses, they pick up the sheet to turn you over and do all the stuff. And I was in terrible, terrible condition, but I knew I was healed. God said it on Monday night, and I knew I was healed. I said those scriptures over and over, the two that he spoke to me, over and over and over, Monday night, all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday, no change, no feeling, nothing, just pain. Pain, and the surgeon saying, time is of the essence. We've got to treat you, but we can't. Thursday morning, surgeons walked in and said, we have very good news for you. There's been a remarkable turn of events. Radiation doctor said, this is a real head scratcher. We don't understand it. The cancer is no longer in your body. You're cancer free.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Real Life Radio today. If you grab a piece of paper and pencil, I want to give you some information. First of all, Real Life Radio is produced and brought to you compliments of Real Life Church. We're not asking for any contributions, but we are asking one favor. The next time you visit beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we'd love for you to stop into one of our services. We have service every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Those are both in-person services located at 9644 North Kings Highway in Myrtle Beach, and that's on the corner of Lake Arrowhead Road. It's in a center called the Galleria. Now, both of these services are online as well as in-person. But we also have two other services totally online, Sunday evening at 7 p.m. and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. All four online services are located at amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. And even if you're not in Myrtle Beach, you can attend church with us. If you'd like more information, visit our church website, www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. Real Life Radio is heard Monday through Friday at the same time on this same station, the Truth Network. God bless you, and start living that real life right now.